Prologue. Last Chance, Nebraska, September 1878. Rays of waning sunlight dappled the surface of the North Platte River, water crested and gulped at the edges of the pier. The man stared at the ripples, his eyes fixed not on the water, but on the bodies only he could see underneath it. Bloated figures and bulging eyes gazing blankly up at him. Sucking in a breath, he squatted down, and his hands reached down to touch them, to make sure that no matter what, they were still there under the river, hidden in their soggy graves from the people who once loved them. Once? No, not once. People who still loved them. The man's hands broke through the thin, fluid surface. Although he could see the inert corpses, for some reason, he was unable to touch them. He had to touch them. He had to make sure they were fish food, monster bait, or whatever else the claims of a watery death would make them. They had to stay there, where no one could ever find them. Only then would he find peace. He bent down further, the water reaching to the bend of his elbow. How could this be? The body still lay close to the surface, not unlike a twisted version of a child's eager visage pressed against a shop's window. Yet he hadn't touched them. The water now came to his armpits and no contact. What was going on? Now on his stomach, both arms fully submerged into the water, he swished the water back and forth, desperate to grab hold of them. He stared at their dull faces, seeing their features etched clearly, except for the unnatural swelling of their cheeks. They had once been beautiful people. It was not his fault they no longer were. The bodies broke the veil of their grave, bobbing to the surface like a pair of buoys. Fear ate his insides, and with a harsh, dry sob, he frantically tried to push them back under the water. But he couldn't reach them, couldn't touch them. His lips pulled back from his teeth as the body seemed to float up into the air, so close their noses almost touched. Now his sunken arms were incapable of movement, imprisoned, just like the bodies he had put there. Why couldn't he get out of the water? Air seesawed out of his mouth. He wiggled like a fish trying to escape the hook. The faces of the dead, so close, stared unseeing. Then, four pairs of lifeless eyes blinked. The man jerked awake, gasping and gulping in air. His heart slammed inside his chest, threatening to beat a hasty exit. Light perspiration beaded his brow and upper lip, along with a gluey string of snot. Wiping it all away with the sleeve of his shirt, he collapsed back on the chair and sighed. He glanced out of the tiny window. Late afternoon, it would be time to go back home soon. His eyes drifted back down to the letter he'd written before he'd fallen asleep. He silently mouthed the first line. My sin is ever before me. He glanced around to see the bunkhouse was blessedly empty. Had it been that way while he slept, or had someone come in, read his letter, and then... No, that had not happened. He'd fallen asleep on top of it, arms crossed, and his head cushioned on top of them. No one had seen it. Why wasn't he relieved then? The man took the letter and the envelope and folded one into the other. Then he folded the envelope and placed it in the waistband of his pants, under his shirt, where the edges of it poked his back, like a knife. He gathered his belongings and stood up, just as the door opened. You still here? Not anymore, he joked, the effortless smile he'd perfected shielding the turmoil inside. I'm heading home for now. All right, then. Tell your missus I said hello. The man nodded, knowing that was the last thing he would do. Sure will.